"Let me just run this by my lawyer" is a really helpful phrase to have in your back pocket. Legal Shield has been giving legal peace of mind for over 50 years. They connect you to a vetted law firm in your state for an affordable monthly fee. Want an experienced set of eyes on a contract's fine print? Or you finally want to get that will done? Legal Shield has a dedicated group of lawyers who have your back, no matter what the future brings. Sign up today at LegalShield.com/iHeart. PPLSI does not provide legal representation or advice. See a plan for complete terms.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're going to love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, Ken, did you know that gold is the only currency that's held its value since the dawn of money?
Well, I did. Thanks to our friends at Legacy Precious Metals, the most trusted name in gold investing.
Investing in gold protects you against inflation and gives you a hedge against stock market volatility.
Don't leave your retirement to chance. Call Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or download your free investor's guide now at buylegacygold.com. That's buylegacygold.com.
There's a rumor going around there's a new sheriff in town, or more exactly, a new iPhone in town. iPhone 14 was allegedly unveiled today. And ABC News' Alex Stone joins us now with the latest.
I don't know. Stick shift? Who? And come on now.
Hey,
nobody needs that.
Wait a minute. Are you saying that you don't know how to drive stick shift?
I have no idea. No idea. I'm 41 years old. I've had an automatic my entire life.
Look, I don't. Maybe we should just. Wait, how are you going to tell me about the iPhone if you don't know how to drive stick?
I've never needed it. I had a girlfriend in high school that she drove one, and I thought, maybe I'll need to know. Then we broke up, didn't need to know.
You never had, like, a friend who had a stick who just let you try once or anything?
No.
You never even, like, tried a clutch just once?
No.
So, in other words, if we were driving in my car and I became incapacitated or I had too many to drink,
we would be dead. We would be gone.
Yeah. I was just going to say stranded. But
I want to know what music you were going to have on. I didn't.
I listen to talk radio. What are you talking about?
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant.
iPhone 14. What do we know?
Yes. So it was a lot of the regular stuff, things that, you know, tech people get really excited about. But most of us who use a phone and enjoy the phone but aren't going to notice a better chip or slightly better low light in the camera. That's kind of where they were today. It was a lot of this.
This is our first chip built on a state-of-the-art 4-nanometer process.
Oh, thank goodness, Mo. Four nanometers.
Wait. Whenever you say state-of-the-art, I tune out.
Yeah.
Can't you find some other phrase to convey?
Not me. Blame Apple. Not me. Yeah.
Not you, but
blame
I'm
that guy who's trying to sell you an iPhone and they're unveiling today. Mm. So a lot of the announcements, evolutionary, not revolutionary, that, you know, if you've got an 8 and through evolution, the cameras have gotten better, little features here and there, well, then you may look at the 14 and say, this thing is amazing. I want it. If you spent $1,100 on a 12 or 13, do you need this right now? Probably not. People are going to do it. They're going to want it. It's the newest thing. I know I'm always that way where I go, try to justify it. But is it going to make a difference in what you got? Probably not. Now, the Apple Watch, this feature just for you, Mo.
Utilizing the new temperature sensor in Apple Watch Series 8, you can now receive a retrospective estimate of when you ovulated.
There you go. Enjoy. Apple
Thank you
Watch.
For that.
Yeah. And retrospective as well, not real time. Ovulation, the temperature, they say not ready yet to give you your body temperature. They're going down that road. But in the meantime, they can do ovulation. And they've got a new rugged Apple Watch meant for outdoor activity, meant to get beat up, go scuba diving with. They call it the Ultra. It's rugged. It's got military-like bands available. Titanium case, long battery life, depth gauge on it if you're in the water. So that was a big part of the Apple Watch. The AirPods Pro, few new things.
At the heart of AirPods Pro is our brand new H2 chip, providing an incredible upgrade to performance.
Oh man, they tell us it's amazing and it's going to sound incredible, but mainly a new chip there. The two big headlines though, Mo, really are a bigger deal pretty cool. Number one is on the new Apple Watch and on the iPhone 14 models, they're going to be able to know when you were in a vehicle crash. If you're out there with your stick shift and you slam into a wall, it's going to know it. It's going to dial 911, and your emergency contacts that you have saved in your iPhone, going to give them all a ring and say, something bad just happened to Mo.
When a crash is detected, it will automatically connect you with emergency services, provide your location, and notify your emergency contacts.
Should call just to say Mo has a stick shift. Warning. may not have been a crash, but he's on his stick shift again. And the critics, Mo, are saying, hasn't OnStar been doing this for like 30 years?
Well, not only that, Android already has that capability.
Do they?
Yes, they do.
Well, there you go. The Android lovers out there who always argue that they've got it better. But they say this is going to be sound G-forces. You're not going to be relying on being in your car or the subscription on OnStar being up to date. Doesn't matter what vehicle you're in, it's going to be able to do it.
In each crash test, we capture data from the new gyroscope and accelerometer, including the barometer, microphone, and GPS.
And that music behind it, what they do now, it is fully produced like one big commercial, no longer on stage where Steve Jobs or Tim Cook now coming out and saying, here's what we got. It is all pre-produced. And then that led into the cool thing that had been rumored for a while, unveiled. They had all the music, everything to go with it.
Rescue 07, command. Please be advised the storm is headed your way to miles.
Now, this is where it gets pretty cool. So the new iPhone 14 going to connect to satellites. If you are away from cell service, if you don't have any service, any Wi-Fi, and you need to be rescued. So let's say you're up in Yosemite or you're in Mammoth and you're hiking around and you fall and you break your leg. You're alone. What do? This thing will connect to satellites. Up until now, you've needed a big chunky satellite phone.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah. And I mean, they're huge. I've got one for work and you got to find the satellite, do all that. It will guide you to where the satellite is. Point your phone in that direction. It will give 911 GPS coordinates telling them that you need help. Right now, not for voice. You'll text message back and forth with 911. And they said
connectivity in these areas can be provided by communication satellites. Unlike stationary cell towers, communication satellites are hundreds of miles above the Earth and flying at over 15,000 miles per hour.
So you're driving down some desolate road, you're up in the mountains, you're out on the water, and something goes wrong. You pull it up, that screen on your phone, tell it to connect via satellite. It will then slowly, they say, text back and forth with 911, letting them know where you are. And that could be a game changer. That may be the thing. That even if you have an iPhone 13, that if you're out on the, if you go boating a lot or in the mountains, that you may say, that is worth it right there, and that may do it. But other than that, it was a lot of, this camera is going to be a little bit better, this sensor is better, this chip is faster, what we hear every year. But a few things being satellite, the big one.
I wonder if, and I, obviously the math probably does not support this, but I wonder if it would be better off if they did an announcement or they released a version every other year and made the technology more exponential in growth as opposed to just incremental.
Well, I mean, they want to make money.
I know.
Right? So by doing this every year.
Newer, shinier.
Yeah, going into the holiday period. This is about every year saying you need this and you want this and this is new and it is amazing. That they want you every year wanting to do the early up on your Verizon or AT&T and getting the new one. So money-wise, I don't think that they're going to go down that road. You know, still media-wise, we pay a lot of attention to Apple that we don't to Samsung and everybody else. But they make headlines and people talk about it. And even though I think only today or yesterday, Apple overtook Android for the most in the U.S.
Yes, correct.
You don't want to be that guy in that text group that you're the one guy not on an iPhone.
Wait.
Are you that guy?
I am that guy, and I'm proudly that guy. I have a Google
your stick
Pixel,
shift?
Man.
Come on now.
I drive a stick. I have a Google Pixel.
Oh, and you are that guy.
I am
we
a
all
real man.
That guy.
I'm a man's man.
No, you are the one guy that you're like, I can't send a video to this group because somebody in this group has an Android.
No,
can't send a
you,
photo.
You can send it. I'm saying I just can't use
and
an emoticon.
And then it looks weird, and it, no. Look, I'm like a drug dealer. I've got two iPhones. One's work, one's personal. And I love every moment of both of them. But
that
you know,
makes that sense because you don't drive a stick. You don't know what you're missing. I get it. It all makes sense
certainly
now.
Certainly, I'm missing out on a lot in life right now.
Alex Stone, thank you so much for that.
You got it. Thanks, Mo.
We'll talk soon. This is the John and Ken Show, KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. A little sense of what goes on behind the scenes. Sometimes you don't know when something is just going to take over and people are going to run with it. I was talking about how Kias and Hyundais were more likely to get stolen and why they were getting stolen. And that kind of morphed into a discussion of the first car that we had and when they were broken into. And I said, I only drive stick. All my cars have been stick. Then we went around the room to find out who could drive stick. Eric couldn't drive stick. And I said, he wasn't a real man since he couldn't drive stick. And he took that personally. I don't know why he did, but
just
he
a
did.
Tad.
Okay. And then I was finding out, and other people were hitting me. KFI's hosted a daily dive. Oscar Ramirez said, I drive stick. I drive stick right now. People were hitting me on Twitter. I drive stick. Will Kohlschreiber, KFI's Eye in the Sky, just hit me on Twitter talking about, you haven't lived until you burned out your clutch at Sunset and La Cienega. And if you are familiar with that, not even intersection, it's just a side street, House of Blues used to be there. And if you come up on La Cienega, there is a long light and a steep hill. And most people are turning left, so you don't have the luxury of turning right. So you have to balance on your clutch. And I remember when I had my Honda S2000 I was talking about, that's when I ruined I've only burned out one clutch in my life. And it was on that car, and it was on that hill right there. So, yes, Will, you are absolutely right. But to that end, with all that as a setup, I'm joined now in studio by KFI's own Andrew Caravella. Is this mic on?
That's my mic. Oh,
there we go.
You were millennial bashing.
No, I wasn't. It wasn't about your generation. It was just about people who couldn't drive stick. And if y'all happen to be millennials, so be it.
Yeah. So I think I was like 16. My brother wanted to teach me, and he's a Gen Xer. And I'm assuming that's your generation.
Yes, I am. Okay, Gen X. I'm not a baby boomer. Damn.
And after about an hour of like the stop and go and the stalling, he just said, you know, get the F out of the car. Like he was done. And
you tried.
I guess. I don't think he would say I tried, but I've never learned to drive stick since that moment.
But he probably didn't want you to burn out his clutch.
Yeah, probably.
From your ineptitude. That's what I'm thinking. Now, what kind of car was it?
It was a 2001 Kia Rio.
Did you steal it?
No, but it looked like it was stolen at one point.
Were you on a flat surface? Were
you
trying on hills as well?
It was a neighborhood. It was like fresh asphalt put down, you know, just a side street with houses and stuff. Yeah.
And he put you out of the car and it was never tried again.
It was never tried again. No. Not even in video game. I just checked the automatic one because I don't know how to do the whole stick thing.
You can't even handle a stick on like
a video game. No, it's There's a lot of anxiety going on when you do that.
Okay. Now I'm really, really curious. Do you have any friends now who drive stick shift?
Not that I know of, no.
I do.
How is that even possible? Now, I producer Dana, I asked you off air, but I didn't ask you on air. You cannot drive stick. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And I know Ray can drive a stick. Right?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. Are you kidding me?
All right. All right.
When you were talking about stick on the column, my dad had a GMC truck and had four on the column, baby.
Yep.
And that's how you drove. If you want to drive, you want to go somewhere, MF-er, you're going to learn.
See, that's,
and that's how it goes.
Man, that's a man's man. That's a man's man.
And not only that, okay, our lawnmower used to be stick, too.
Oh, I forgot about that. Yes.
Yeah.
So, yes.
That's crazy.
Motorcycles? Absolutely. You want to get on the motorcycle? You want to go have fun? You want to go screw around? You better learn.
Who needs a lawnmower that has a second and third gear? I just don't get that. Who has a lawn that big?
Maybe if you rode a John Deere.
Where am I going to ride a John Deere in the middle of the day in L.A.?
Well, not necessarily in L.A., but I mean, look, I was a kid who was in 4-H, so I rode a John Deere on a number of occasions, because that's kind of stuff you learn in 4-H.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Don't let the packaging fool you.
Hey, Mo, I'm thinking about that famous Kobe meme. Soft.
Look.
Soft.
Get soft. Them right. Get them right. I was telling, it was actually Andrew.
Imagine me shaking my head. Soft.
No, I was taunting Andrew. If you've seen Game of Thrones, there's this scene where Cersei has to walk through the town and she's nude and they're yelling at her, shame. 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 That's what I was doing to Andrew. Was like, how can you not drive stick as a grown-ass man in America?
Because it's 2022 in America.
Let's make America great again. Learn how to drive stick. No?
No. Okay. No.
That'd be a great platform to run on, Mo.
It would be. I have a friend who's running for president possibly, so I ought to give it to him.
Is he going to come on your show?
Probably not.
Okay.
Probably not. But I ask you on because as a millennial, you probably have a sense of other millennials as far as whether they even are familiar with the idea of driving stick. Now, to be fair, there are just fewer cars which are stick now. When I last took my car to get serviced, the guy who brought it out is like, wow, you have a stick. Acknowledging that he doesn't see that many. He had no problem driving it. But he doesn't see that many. So I'm guessing you're not even exposed to that many sticks.
No. Mm-mm. They're phasing out. Kind of like gas will eventually be phased out in the state, apparently.
Well, that's what they're saying. But yeah. I don't know if we'll actually get to that point. And I don't know how it's set up with the EVs as far. Don't they have like one pedal, some of the cars?
Yeah. So I had a BMW i3 and it's got the brake.
That is very millennially.
It is. Yes. Do not judge, please. Do not judge John and Ken listeners.
The whole point of being a John and Ken listener.
But there was a gas, I call it a gas pedal, even though there's no gas in the car. Right. And then there's like regenerative brakes. So like you don't actually have to brake the car for it to brake. It'll come to a stop at a stop.
Like so if you take your foot off the pedal, it automatically starts
It'll start to brake, yeah, but it's a habit, right? So because I do have a gas car also, so I will still brake.
Is it? You've been to Disneyland, right?
Yes.
Okay, did you go to Disneyland, I would say, more than 15, 20 years ago? They had this thing called Autopia, where they were gas little go-karts. Yeah.
It's still there.
Oh, it's still there? It's still
yeah.
there?
Okay. I rode it this summer.
But it's like that one pedal where, you know, if you push on the gas, it'll go. And if you take your foot off the gas, it automatically brakes.
Yes.
Yeah.
Is it like that?
It's kind of like that. Probably a little more high-tech because it's a Beamer, but yes.
Probably a little more high-tech. How condescending can you be? You leftist, liberal elitist.
That's an assumption. That's a wide, wide assumption.
Look, if you're driving a BMW i3 and you're talking down to the people who drive a gas Autopia car, you probably fit the bill.
Yeah. Well, no. I the fifth.
This is the John and Ken Show. Mo Kelly for John and Ken. Thank you so much, Andrew. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You can always hit me on social media at Mr. Mo Kelly. In fact, we're having a robust discussion right now on Twitter regarding manual transmissions, as they're officially called, stick shifts. The first car you had, whether it was stick or not, whether you took your driving test in a stick, I say real men drive stick shift cars, and I don't know if I'll be able to say that much longer because as we go to EVs, there won't be any type of manual transmission. But joining me right now is the host of Home with Dean Sharp. Obviously, that's Dean Sharp, as heard here on KFI. Dean, my friend, I have to ask you the obligatory question. Can you drive stick, sir?
Okay. You want to hear this? You want to be impressed?
Yes.
So earlier this year, we took a two-week vacation in Scotland, of which the majority of that vacation we had rented a van to travel around in. Turns out getting an automatic transmission over there like doubles the cost of the rental.
What?
So almost all the rental cars in Scotland are manual transmissions. So yes, my friend, not only because I've driven stick off and on my whole life, but I just completed just a few short months ago 800 plus miles of stick shift on the wrong side of the road.
Was everything backwards as far as the stick shift?
No. And that was actually one of the weird, well, I put it this way. The pedals, everything is the same. Okay. The pattern is the same on the stick, and the pedals are all the same. Otherwise, I would not have agreed to do it because I would have pushed my foot down to clutch and just hit the brakes and thrown everybody through the windshield.
Well, but, let me jump in there. So first gear is top left.
Top left. But okay. See, the strange thing is, right, what I didn't realize after all these years, I'm so used to having first and second, like, right next to your side, right?
Yeah.
Just, like, right there, and you just pull straight back. Now you have to reach over to the left for first, and I kept finding myself going from first to third because my hand just keeps wanting to come in.
Uh-huh.
My hand just wanted to come in next to my side, right? So I had to the weirdest thing was going from first to second. Once we got into the high gears, then I was fine because I was right next to, you know, my side again. But, yeah, first to second was awkward, really awkward.
Yeah, I haven't driven in a foreign country on the wrong side of the street, what I call the wrong side as of yet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But kudos to you. Yes, I was impressed by that. Thank you very much, Dean. But we didn't bring you on to talk about stick shift driving. We did bring you on to get some of your expertise in this heat wave as we're in the middle of this heat dome as far as how to best manage these flex alerts, some things that we should or should not do even before we leave our houses in the morning to best keep them cool and minimize our energy usage. So let me get out of the way.
Uh-huh.
Go ahead.
Okay. So let me just run through it, and then if you've got questions, you come back around and fire them off at me. So first of all, when you leave the house, close the drapes. You know, infrared and UV penetration of light into the house is going to cause heat buildup, even if you've got really great windows. So keep the house as dark as possible so that you're not fighting that as well as just regular insulation. Number two, of course, like they say, during the flex alert, you don't want to set that thermostat higher. But here's the thing of some things that people just really screw up on. They think, well, you know what? My AC is not really efficient, which understandably is the case for a lot of folks. So people go around, they start turning off vents of rooms that they're not using. They start closing bedroom doors of rooms that they're not using, thinking that this is going to make everything else, our actual living area, more efficient. Do not do that. Your air conditioning system, if it's a simple one-stage air conditioning system, which the majority of them are out there, in other words, if your AC just comes on and off and doesn't change speed at all, and you would know it if it did, it is designed to have its entire lungs opened up the house for it to work properly. So you want to set the thermostat higher, but you don't want to go fiddling with closed. And I'm not talking about directing the air with the little directional vent. That's fine. But closing off vents or closing bedrooms that aren't getting used, wrong move. You're causing backup pressure to build in the system. And eventually, as that pressure backs up in the ductwork up in the attic or wherever the ductwork is, it's actually going to cause increased pressure in the lines that are open and make it less efficient for the rest of the house.
I wonder, though, and I listen as someone who's now further along in life, I have central air, and I think about it one way, but if I were listening to you in my 20s and 30s when I didn't have central air and I was dependent upon fans and I didn't have the luxury of thinking about turning on or redirecting my air conditioner, how would you recommend for people of lesser means who may be living in an apartment situation to deal with something like this?
Okay, so let's say you don't have AC, or a really good, maybe you've got one little room AC and it's not covering the whole thing, and you are working with fans. Let me just say one fundamental truth of science, okay? Fans do not cool the air. They cool you. And so, in other words, just having a fan on in a room, all you're doing is moving the air around. You're not actually decreasing its temperature. Fans cool mammals. They cool human beings. So the best use of a fan is to get it pointed at you so that your skin is actually experiencing the breeze, because the usefulness of a fan for heat control is that you are accelerating evaporation of moisture off of your skin, and as a result, it causes cooling on your skin. So you can't just say, you know what, I'm going to just turn all the fans on. You're wasting energy. Just turn fans on in rooms where there are no human beings. Wherever you are, have the fan on and make sure that you are feeling the breeze, because it's not cooling anything else down, but it will cool you down.
So in other words, don't put it on oscillation like I was telling Mark Ronner earlier.
Oscillation is fine for if what you're doing is creating a current in the room that you can feel, or if there's multiple people. Really, oscillation is, it's like if you and me and Mark were all sitting in different parts of the room and we all have to share that fan.
Trying to picture
that. That's what oscillation is for, because you know it's going to hit you, it's going to go to Mark, it's going to go to me, and then it's back to you again. But if it's just you, just point it straight at you. Oscillation does nothing to benefit you if you're the only person in the room.
Dean, can I get you to hold over for another segment so we can keep this going?
Sure thing.
All right. This is the John and Ken Show. I'm Mo Kelly in for John and Ken. We're speaking to Dean Sharp, host of Home with Dean Sharp. We'll have more in just a moment. KFI AM 640. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Right now, I'm having a conversation with Dean Sharp, as in Home with Dean Sharp. You can hear Dean every Saturday and Sunday. Saturdays from 6 to 8 a.m. and Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 a.m. And we brought Dean on to help us better manage our houses, not our households, but our houses as we get through this extreme heat wave. And Dean, I wonder, since you live this and you follow this much more closely, I believe, than the average person, have you had to change or modify how you manage your home energy conservation during this heat wave?
Well, I think everybody does, yeah. I mean, I would hope that everybody would. I would hope everybody would take the advice that they're being given about pre-cooling their home and then raising the thermostat in the afternoon or early evening and letting it coast. But the problem is, Mo, I don't think most people understand why they're doing it, and that's why a lot of people don't follow through. I'll give you three things that you should be doing and the reasons why for your AC during this time. Because have no doubt, AC is the thing that is putting the biggest strain on the grid right now all across Southern California. And there's some hope for that too, by the way. If we have time, I'll tell you why that's a hopeful thing. But the point is this. Yes, set the thermostat higher and keep it running. Do not turn off your AC when you leave. If you're going to leave for an hour or two and you're going to come back, don't turn it off. Don't let the house reheat up again and then turn it back on. Because very much like, okay, so this is reason one. Very much like a car, you know why, you know, car mileage estimates are always higher on the highway than they are in the city, right? What's the difference between the two, highway driving versus city driving? It's all the starting and stopping.
Right.
It's the starting and stopping in the city. Your AC is very much a corollary to that, okay? The power that your AC unit uses to actually just kick in and start is unbelievably higher than the amount that it takes just to keep on going once it's going. So number one, far better on your energy bill just to keep the AC running, even at a real moderate level, than to have it kicking on and off and on and off all day long. Second reason is a thing that we call thermal mass cooling. Thermal mass cooling is this. There's two things to cool down in your house. There's the air, and there's all the stuff, including the house itself, the surfaces, the sofas, the chairs, the tables, all of that. Air cools down really quickly. I mean, the AC will cool the air very quickly. But if you've allowed your couch to sit at 85 degrees, and you just cool the air in the room off to, let's say, like a nice comfortable 72, and the couch is still in the 80s, guess what? It's now a heater working against the AC. So another reason to keep the AC just running low and slow, all day long, is to bring down the thermal, the mass temperature of the stuff in the house. Then the stuff, the surfaces, the other things that aren't air in the house aren't going to be working against the air conditioning, and the whole house will feel cooler and will stay cooler longer with less energy. The third thing is this. A lot of people don't realize that an air conditioning system removes humidity from the air. It's an air dryer, okay? And that is a good thing when it comes to cooling, because the more moisture that's in the air, because what is moisture? It's thermal mass. It's water in the air. The less moisture that there is in the air, the cooler you will feel all the time. It's that evaporative principle again. So running the AC longer, even at a higher temperature, gives it time to dry the air out inside your house. And it is a proven scientific fact that, let's say, you and I sitting in a 78-degree room with 10% humidity, we will feel the same level of comfort as somebody sitting in a 72-degree room with 60% humidity.
Right,
it's like,
right,
you know, the difference between, you know, we always say, but it's a dry heat out here in the West, unlike the South, where, you know, a 70-degree day could be sweltering because of the high humidity. So let the AC run.
I think you just answered my next question, but I've heard from other people. In fact, producer Ray had asked me about this. What, if any, type of other accommodations or considerations should we make if we have pets? Because we've been talking about this in the abstract of, you know, coming and going, leaving the house, but we can't assume that the house is going to be unattended if we have, like, pets that we care about.
Right, and that's exactly the same rules that I was saying. You know, no pet is going to die of heat exhaustion by existing in a house that's, you know, in the upper 70s or even 80 degrees, but definitely the upper 70s. You know, that your pets do not need, even the shaggiest of ones, do not need the house to be 72 or 70 degrees in order for them to survive. What we don't want to do is turn off things and let things get really high as if we've locked the dog in the car, you know?
Right. Well, you know, I know you have a show probably prepared, or two shows probably prepared for this weekend. Do you know what you'll be covering? Will it be some of this on Home with Dean Sharp this weekend?
Well, you know what? I'm just, because we're in the middle of the Flex Alerts, I'm going to be talking about this, just reminding everybody what to do and not to do both Saturday and Sunday. We've been talking about it a lot, and we've dedicated some shows recently to it. So, no, this weekend is not, we're not talking about AC, but I will definitely be covering it to remind everybody. We're actually going to be having a discussion about rain gutters, believe it or not, on Saturday, because, again, climate change, what we've realized is that it would appear that climate change is not just bringing generally warmer weather, but more extreme weather. So here we are in the 90s right now, and we're looking at an over 50% chance of a thunderstorm come Saturday. So it may seem as though in Southern California, that with climate change, that the whole conversation of having gutters on your house is useless now. Not true. What we're going to find, even though it may rain less in the years to come, when it rains, it may hit harder and heavier and faster. And so we still have to be ready for that.
He is Dean Sharp. And of course, that's Home with Dean Sharp. You can hear it here on KFI every Saturday morning from 6 to 8 a.m. and Sunday mornings from 9 to 11 a.m. He is my brother on the weekends. Dean, it is always good to talk to you, my friend, and I'll be listening.
Sounds great, Mo. Thank you very much.
This is the John and Ken Show. I'm Mo Kelly in for John and Ken. As a matter of fact, we're going to be joined by another KFI friend, if you will, KFI's own Jennifer Jones Lee. We're going to talk about the Wiggle Waggle Walk coming up next. So keep it right here. We're live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
It's never been more important to diversify your financial portfolio.
Well, that's right. The S&P is down 20% from the last year, and this year looks even worse.
Gold and precious metals offer a hedge against inflation and stock market volatility. And Legacy Precious Metals is the company Ken and I trust.
Protect your retirement account by rolling it into a gold-backed IRA or have metals shipped directly to your door.
Call our friends at Legacy Precious Metals today at 866-691-2173.
Or visit buylegacygold.com.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Do you love Selena?
Like, really love?
Whether you saw her live, saw the movie as a kid, or saw her looks all over TikTok, there's no shortage of reasons to stan the Queen of Tejano.
And stan we do over three whole episodes of our podcast, Becoming an Icon.
We're reminiscing as lifelong Selena fans, sharing hot takes and telling her story. Listen to Becoming an Icon on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search Becoming an Icon.